Start the book of 1 John, chapter 1. So if you'll turn to 1 John, chapter 1. And the writer of 1 John is the Apostle John. And we're going to be going between 1 John and the Gospel of John. So there's the Gospel of John and the book of 1 John, the first epistle of John. In this book of 1 John, John addresses the deity of Jesus Christ. And he's making that very clear because there were false teachers teaching that Jesus isn't God. And heresy had crept in. We'll see that later on. Antichrist people. And he addresses the deity of Jesus Christ and that he is part of the Godhead Trinity, three persons, one Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity comes from two words, tri, which means three, and unity, which means one. So you get our word Trinity, three in one. And that's how we got that. And in this book, he teaches us on life, light, and love. Because he's teaching on Jesus Christ, life, light, and love. You know, all of us want real life, real love, and truth. We don't want any darkness. We want light. And that's what this book is about. It's great that God has given us his word so we know truth. You know, our Christian faith is not a religion. It's all about a person. The person of Jesus Christ. That's why we have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Gospel of John really stresses that. Our faith is really about a person. And in him, in Jesus, is where we find love, life, and light so that we're no longer in darkness. See, there are those people who don't believe in this person, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Some think it's just a fable, a story. There are those who believe he lived, but that he was just a good man, a prophet, good person, did good works, taught good things. But then there are those who believe Jesus of Nazareth is God's only begotten Son. God in the flesh. And that's Christians. And John followed Jesus. He walked with him. He was an apostle. He knew him. He was a follower of Jesus. And that's from where he's speaking, we see in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That, he's speaking of Jesus Christ, the subject of this book, the topic, that, which he's about to speak about, which was from the beginning. He was from the beginning, and at the beginning of our world and our universe, he was already there because Jesus is not a created being. Before this earth was, he was. And so he says that's that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen. He was here before this world was created, so he definitely was here at the beginning of it. See, he is eternal. And if we go back to Colossians chapter 1, turn back a few books to Colossians chapter 1. We see starting in verse 15 concerning Jesus. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. He's eternal. He was. And in him, all things consist or are held together. And he also is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. This group of people we call the church. That in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. This is the way God chose to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So he was there always with the Father, the agent of creation. And yet he came to this creation, to this world in human form. What a step down that was. I can't imagine. He came to this earth in human form to fulfill God's plan of redemption. And John goes on to state in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He said we heard him. He and the apostles and followers. We heard him. And we hear him today through the Gospels. We know a lot of what Jesus said. And he says, we saw him with our eyes, and we looked upon him, and our hands have handled him. Well, he's thinking back probably to all the times he heard Jesus speak. And they touched him, and they hugged, and they looked upon him and handled him. Can you imagine that? And it says, he is the word of life. Another term he gives him, the word of life. The word, logos, or topic. And he's the topic of this book and our faith. Jesus Christ is the word of life. He is God's word to us. Our words, even today, our words reveal our thoughts and feelings to others. How do we get things across to others? Through our words. If we can't speak, we write them. But we get things across to others through our words. That's why it's called logos, the word of life, the topic. Christ reveals to us in the same way what God wanted to say. Christ reveals to us the mind and heart of God through the word of life, Jesus. He's the word. He's the topic. And that's the way we even reveal things to other people today, through our word. Only he did it through Jesus Christ. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, turn back to Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 1, we read this in Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us how? By his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He's the word of life. God says, here's what I have to say to you. It's all in Jesus Christ. So, and John starts his gospel the same way. Let's turn to the book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John begins kind of the same way. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's pretty clear. In the beginning. Hey, even beginning of anything, he was there. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, the topic, logos. And the Word, speaking of Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Did not comprehend it, or overcome it, the word could mean. And then we see John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We have a relationship through the word here, through Jesus. We can become children of God through Christ. God says, I love you. I'm speaking to you through Jesus, and you can become my child through him. So that's why we don't have religion. We have relationship, because he says, through Jesus, you become children of God. And then in John 1, 14, in Gospel of John, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, back to 1 John, he's going to speak about Jesus. He looked upon him, hands have handled him concerning the word of life. And so there's Jesus, and then he says in verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. See, through Jesus, we have life, and you can have eternal life. And he talks a lot about being manifested in John, 1 John. His life was, when he says, and that the life and of Jesus was, and real life was manifested, and we have seen. The word manifested means revealed openly, made known to us. His life was revealed openly and made known to us. God says, I'm going to reveal this to you, real life. And he makes it known to us. And John says, we bear witness that we have seen him and declare to you, and we tell you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was revealed, made known to us. We're talking about this Jesus who is life, and he was made known to us, revealed openly to us, and we bear witness of him. And he was with the Father in the beginning, and yet he revealed him, manifested him to us, to we people, real life, eternal life. God revealed himself to us fully in his Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't just say, I'm God and I'm in heaven. He revealed himself to us through life, through Jesus. He revealed himself fully to us. Now, God is love. The Bible tells us that. We're going to read that. Not today, but what better way could God reveal himself to us than through Jesus Christ? Sometimes it's hard getting something across to people. And sometimes I don't understand things. But when somebody shows me something, I say, oh, I get it. I know what you're talking about. God says, I am love. Here, I'm revealing myself to you in the person of Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son. Now, God revealed himself to all and does to all in creation. Let's turn to Romans 1, verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20. In Romans 1, verse 20, we read, for since the creation of the world, speaking of God, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Creation reveals a creator, so people are without excuse. And so we see in Romans, God does reveal himself to mankind in creation. We know that God also reveals himself to all through his word. We have his word. And we see God's character. His word tells us about that. He's long-suffering, merciful, gracious, and all these things. But what better way to fully reveal himself and his love for mankind than through Jesus Christ? There's no better way to reveal who he is and God is love than through Jesus Christ. He says, here, I'm revealing myself to you. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 9, he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. That's the way God revealed himself. And his invisible attributes, as we read in Colossians, are seen through Jesus. Love, light, and life are revealed in Jesus Christ. And one can have it if they call on Jesus. They can have it. Back to our text, verse 3. It goes on to talk about Jesus. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, we, John, and the disciples declare to you these facts about Jesus. Why? So that you too can have fellowship with us. Have the same fellowship. And still true today. People are still coming into the family of God. He says, we want you to know where life is and who it's through, so that you too can have fellowship with us. You see, he's writing to believers in this letter because false teachers have arisen even in the church, and we're going to see that in 1 John. Even in the church, false doctrine and teachers were denying the deity of Jesus Christ. It was that way from the beginning. It's nothing new. It was like that since the beginning of the church. We'll see John talk about that. And many today still say he was just a man and not the Son of God in the flesh. One has to believe it by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. Now, if one doesn't believe the truth about Jesus Christ, then there can be no real fellowship between people, a group of people like the church. There can be no real fellowship unless you have this commonality and you know the truth about Jesus. Because it's not just a religious meeting. It has to be between people who know the truth. He says, we're sharing this with you, declaring this to you, that you may have fellowship with us. That word is koinonia. Partnership, to have in common. They had this partnership, this koinonia. Why? Verse 3. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, you can't really have fellowship with us because truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's not just a bunch of people having fellowship. It's a bunch of people that have the Father and the Son in their life. That's where you can have true fellowship. That separates us from all other faiths. You see, he's saying the true fellowship, he says right here, the true fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So really, it isn't really true when people post a sign, hey, come and join us for fellowship. Well, if they're bringing in unbelievers, they're not going to be able to have fellowship with you. That's a wrong invitation. Because they come and hear Jesus Christ and about him. But fellowship can only be when you have the Father and the Son and like-minded believers. True fellowship is with born-again believers, because our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. It's like, here's the Father and the Son, and we sit down with them and we have this fellowship. Isn't that neat? It's like when we, on Sunday, when we had communion, we had this fellowship, remembering what the Lord has done for us, how he died for us, and And so he's with us, God the Father is with us, the Holy Spirit is with us, and we have this beautiful fellowship. So all faiths are not the same. There are those people that will say, well, we all believe in sort of the same thing. No, we don't. No, we don't. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, and we believe you can only have fellowship when you're joined together in him and with God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion, or this fellowship, has light with darkness? It can't exist together. You know, in a room, it's either light or dark. What happens when the light goes on? Darkness goes away. And so you can't have fellowship between light and darkness. This room is not half light and half dark. It's light. So all faiths are not the same, and they don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ and all these things. And a person must have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and that's where you can have true fellowship. And John writes these things so that, verse 4, in these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Hey, don't settle for less, he's saying. We want your joy to be full. We want you to have real fellowship together. Isn't it great when we all gather together as Christians? It's great. It's great when you have the whole body joining together on Sundays and you have this fellowship. And he says, I want your joy to be full. This lasting joy. Jesus Christ brings joy. The world can't provide real lasting joy. You can try things that can make you happy for a while, but it's going to get old. See, John has joy, and he wants others to experience that same joy. The joy of having life, love, and light. Let's turn to Psalm 133, please. Psalm 133. Verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's good and it's pleasant when the brethren join together in unity. And that's what God wants. That's real joy. It's a wonderful time. Now back to our text, verse 5. John writes, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Hey, here's what we've heard. And declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. No darkness at all. He is pure. He is holy. He is righteous. He is truth. I wonder what our first impression will be in heaven. Wow. Pureness, holiness, no blemish, nothing. He's truth, he's light, pure light. He illuminates. John 8, verse 12. Gospel of John, verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 12, I'll read it. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, he spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Follow me. You'll have life. You'll have light. You will walk in the light and not in darkness, not in sin, not in lies. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. speaking to us as Christians, Peter writes, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't it great to be in the marvelous light and to know truth? That's why John wants to share this with other people. And he wants them to have joy and have fellowship together. But in verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, there were people in the church who really weren't alive, who really weren't born again. They were listening to false teaching. Because he says here in verse 6, if we say, you notice he says the word say. Again, we get into a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. A sayer of the word or a doer of the word. He says, if we say, if a person says, we have fellowship with him. Oh, I have fellowship with God. But and walks in darkness, is in sin, and is not walking in the light, and walks in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Just lying. We are a Christian and have this beautiful fellowship and partnership with God because we live and we walk in the light and not in darkness. And he's saying, if we say that we have fellowship with him, a person can easily say, I'm a Christian. But if they walk in darkness, in sin and darkness, hey, we lie and do not practice the truth. They're just not practicing the truth. Because true fellowship with God is only through Jesus and walking with him. They're lying. When I was a kid, we used to say, liar, liar, your pants are on fire. I don't know if you ever used to say that when kids would lie. You know, there's some truth in that. And John's saying, liar, liar, you're going to end up in the fire. This liar does not practice the truth. He just says things. You see, darkness and light can't coexist. You can't say you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. But if we walk and live after light as he is, then we have true fellowship with one another. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk and live in the light as he is in the light, walking with the Lord, we have true fellowship with one another because we believe the same thing. We have true fellowship. And only true born-again Christians are in fellowship with God because we're in Christ. And as a result of that, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Present tense, cleanses. Jesus paid for it all. All to him I owe. See, we have a sin nature. Even as believers, we have a sin nature. When we became a born-again Christian, we didn't get rid of this sin nature. That's why Paul says, crucify the flesh. Don't let it live. Don't feed it. We have to admit we have that nature. But we also have the power to resist temptation and sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can flee. We can resist the devil and he will flee from us. And the blood of Jesus Christ is our powerful cleanser. Of course, when we come to Christ, all our sins are washed away. But he says there's this continuing cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, as we walk in fellowship, cleanses us from all sin. As a Christian, we don't want to hide or ignore or cover our sin. God has provided a way in Scripture to be cleansed through Jesus Christ. This continual cleansing. That's what's so great about the Word of God. And we confess, we repent, we're truthful before God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. However, there are people that believe they don't sin. My wife and I ran into a guy like that. I've shared that story before, who said he never sinned and that we were wrong because we sin. But we know the Bible says right here in verse 8, If we say that we have no sin, and if you say that, you probably have the sin of pride because you're sharing it with other people and putting yourself above others. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Before people come to Christ, they believe I don't have to because I'm a good person. I don't have any sin. Well, you sure do. You're a liar. And even as a Christian, we sin. Even today, you may have said something you shouldn't have said, thought something you shouldn't have thought, didn't do something you should have, challenged God, doubted. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What do we do with that? What do we do if we fall prey as a Christian to that sin nature? Say we lie, we cheat, we speak evil, we say something we shouldn't have, we don't forgive, we don't love, or we don't do things we should do as God says to do. What if we do things that are sin? What do we do? Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great? We need to just be truthful before God. Confess them before God. Just be truthful. And here we see confession is required for forgiveness. You can't just brush it aside. Like God, well, He doesn't care. We can't harbor bitterness, hate, any of these things. We have to confess these things to God, as David did, confessed his sin to God, and he was forgiven. And as we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who covers his sins, hides them, covers them, will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Isn't that wonderful? So we don't cover our sins, say, well, I didn't sin. Yes, you did. So confession brings forgiveness. He will forgive and wash them away because we have the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all sin and we are in Christ. We can always depend on God to do His part. We're the ones that fail God. God never fails. And verse 10, our last verse. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Don't ever say that. If we say we have not sinned, well, I was just giving them a piece of my mind. They were wrong. They deserve it. You've sinned in what you said and what your heart was toward them. No, I didn't sin. It was their fault. They deserve it. You sinned. You're not forgiving them. You sinned again. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar because He talks about all these sins and His word is not in us. So you don't want to be at that place because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So tonight we read Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He bled and died to take care of our sin issue. And now we can have joy and true fellowship. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for this book, which so clearly speaks to us about Jesus Christ. We thank You that we have this privilege to be part of Your family. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for all You've given us in life. Please help us to live accordingly. We're blessed. We thank You for our blessings. Lord, continue to take care of us. We need You. We need Your help. Create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit, Lord, even tonight. And as we worship You now, we pray it's in spirit and in truth. We know You love to be worshipped. And You should be worshiped, God. You are the creator of all things. You are God. We are man. You are the one that made us. And we thank you, God, for giving us a chance to spend eternity with you in heaven. How awesome. And Lord, we pray as we worship you now, we bless you. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen.